in hard time you have to play hard, in the sense like, you
Yeah.
know, we all like get in a shock from what happened, so you need to be out there if you want to survive. I think the best way is to just help art. I mean, music is art, visual art clearly is art. You like everything is like form of expression and creates experiences. You're creating not just a concert, but you're creating an event. So I mean, it becoming something different, and then you always have the chance, you know, like to get only the big concert whenever you want. Like you can always play with that. But I think like at the beginning, if you open a venue that is dedicated to music and to art, then why not merging the two things or the three things or even more?
Hey there, in this episode of the Event Promoter Podcast, we have Francesca Sattadori. She's a longtime promoter and live events extraordinaire. She's got a really rich history of working in both the arts, the music industry. Now she's working as the assistant director of the National Congress of Italian Canadians. They put on this huge Italian festival in Quebec, which generally has 500,000 some people come through with live music and food and all sorts of festivities. She also writes for some music publications, reviewing concerts and musicians, and she's a senior project coordinator for the Syncopated Noise Foundation, helping put on shows and support artists. We have a great conversation about how to creatively frame up your events, title your events, and promote your events so that regardless of the scale of the built-in audience that those events have, so if you're a musician that's just getting started or you're a venue trying to book more independent artists, how can you get people to come to those events and enjoy it and have a great experience so that they want to keep coming back? Lots of great insights and stories here in this episode, so I'm excited to share this with you.
Event Vesta is a simple yet powerful tool for event organizers. With Event Vesta, you can post your upcoming events to event calendars all through your city on the most popular websites without spending hours on each doing it manually. Get hours worth of marketing done for your events in 5 minutes or less with Event Vesta. Check out how Event Vesta can help your business today by checking out vesta.fun/podcast.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, Francesca. I appreciate you joining. I talked to Alicia, who you work with closely on some things, but you also work on a bunch of other stuff. So I'm excited to speak to you. And I'm just going to let you start off by giving the audience a little introduction of, I know you do a lot of things. I'll let you introduce some of the things that you're working on and have worked on.
Absolutely. First off, thank you so much, Craig, for having me here. It's an honor and a pleasure. We've been chatting a bit before, and it's very nice to get to know you better. So as you said, I work closely with Alessia on many projects, so with the Syncopated Noise Foundation, and I'll better explain that after what exactly we do. But basically, on my side, I'm an event planner, event coordinator, music publicist, and a little bit promoter, a little bit because I'm starting right now to promote. But I'm also a freelance writer, so I write for a couple of journals. One is here based in Montreal, Canada. It's called Montreal Rocks. So I interview musicians, I write reviews about concerts, and I write also for Italian newspaper based in Montreal, which is called Corriere Italiano. I've been working for years through the field of events, but also in general arts and music. And I'm currently now working with the National Congress of Italian Canadians here in Quebec, where I'm assistant director. And we do a series of events destined to the community, but not just the Italian Canadian community, but to the community in general. We host a big, big festival, which this year is actually the 30th anniversary of this festival. So 30 years of the Italfest Montreal, that actually before was previously known as Semaine Italienne Montreal, because we're in Quebec, so we often use French. French is the main language. And so it's a big event, and I'm pretty thrilled to work this year on this huge festival. We always have around 500,000 people coming. We have live music with musicians that come from all over the world, Canadian origins. And then we have gastronomy, you know, a little bit of things to let people and Canadians and tourists know about Italians, Italians' origin and culture. So, and I co-host also a little podcast that's called Let's Talk It Out. I produce another podcast, which is called Session with Staff, where we actually work with musicians, local musicians, and we try to promote them to give them a platform to talk and perform and to talk about the music and perform. I also own a little company called Fearless Sounds. And we actually are doing, I'm a music publicist, so we help emerging musicians, you know, build their brand and promote their image. And we do a bit of digital marketing as well.
A lot of people in this industry have a lot of plates they're jiggling. And it's cool because I think we all just are very passionate about the events industry and the music industry and the arts. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on why... To you, is there an importance to live in-person events? And if so, what is that?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that you've been hearing this from everyone, but it was a very, very hard moment at that of pandemic, of COVID. And I think that just it was so important. Well, it was very hard, so I'm not going to talk about that. But what it highlighted is literally the needs that we have to connect with people, to get closer to people. So I think that as much as virtual was very, very good, it is still very, very good, because it gave us the opportunity to still connecting somehow, not to get closer, but even to the people we love, but also to, for us that we're doing this job, it's just a little bit to stay there, you know, to keep continuing doing something, to keep moving on, you know, waiting for better days to come. But I'm honestly thinking, and I'm a little bit old school on that. I always think that in person is always better. And it's always better, like, for many reasons. Events in person are great because you connect, you talk, you feel, you know, events are about experience, right? So the better the experience, the better the event. So if you can create a great experience for the people, for the attendees to your event, whatever it is, a festival, it is a corporate event, which is really important when you, you know, want to build up your brand as a company and you decide to create an event, the experience you give to your employees, but also to the people that are following you, like, it's really, really important. So I think, like, in person gives the experience that is necessary to feel, to have a successful event. And I think that it, although virtual was very, very good, and I have an example of an event that, for example, with Alessia, we did. It was a cultural project. We were able to connect people from Italy here, musicians, and create a cultural product that was a little cover that we gifted to the Italian Institute of Culture. So, but still, it's not the same thing of connecting in person. And I feel that we saw last year, for example, it was the first year we were out, and I was working with a company, C3 Events, and we saw that were so many, like an explosion of events, on needs of people, companies that wanted to do. It was really, really restarting everything. And that was beautiful because it also shows that it was really a need that we had to reconnect with others. So I think this is the really, like, experience is like the key word that we were missing through the pandemic and through the virtual, and that makes in-person event so important and so, I mean, in my point of view, better, but just because you have a wider range of solutions and things that you can produce for your clients. So I think it's better. Like, I'm very happy to be back to doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. There's only so many experiences and that you can have in front of a computer screen. And even though, like, there are many, many really interesting experiences you can have in front of a computer screen, I think the body still knows that you're just sitting in front of a computer screen, regardless of how amazing the thing on that computer screen might be. So being able to actually get out and be in a unique space around the energy of a crowd, meeting people in person and picking up on their energy, feeling and touching vendors' products, like all of those, eating food, all of those things are what, and feeling the vibrations of the music and that sort of thing. And so I'm also very grateful that we can do that again. And I hope that doesn't end anytime soon.
Yeah, finger crossed.
Tell me a little bit about the work that you do with musicians and your thoughts, just because this is something that we haven't gotten to touch on the podcast a lot. And I know that there's some amount of musicians that are touring artists or trying to become touring artists, maybe they venue managers, that sort of thing. And I hear a lot from, I've actually heard a lot from venue managers recently that they're having a really hard time selling shows for artists that are not kind of big name artists. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think yes, definitely, because the problem is like, again, sorry to be repeating myself, but it was like a sort of gap that we experienced in many things that were involved entertainment. So, and art, unfortunately. So music, but also art, a museum, art exhibition, like there was literally a gap. And now what is happening, unfortunately, many of the venues I saw here in Montreal, lots of venues closed. And those were the venues that actually were promoting and giving space and to the independent little musicians to be seen. So all these little venues closed because they couldn't afford, you know, the renting, the staff, blah, blah, blah. Also because the musician they were used to work with, they couldn't, like, you know, there wasn't a renting price so high. So, I mean, this is obvious. So for sure, that was really, really devastating. So now also the problem is like the amount of the artists and musician is still the same. The venues are less and less. So clearly there's a very, very big competition as of now. And it's really hard to get heard out there, literally. So I don't know. What I always suggest is really, first off, believing in yourself, of course, that this goes for everyone, every profession. But I mean, like as a publicist, and I always recommend to focus on the music. So I've seen some of my friends, musicians, that they focused in the studio and they put their money into create and working with great producer to create a good product, like a good quality product that they could put out there. So I think this is really important, because when you reach out also to the public and to, you know, to the venue, you want to make them listen to your music, but also if you want to have some coverage and to be out there, it's really important that the things you're sending out in the world, it's good quality. This is where I think, first off, musicians has to put their money in the quality of their music. So get together with a great producer, create a good product, and then start building your brand very clear based on, you know, your genre, your music genre. So let's say we were talking about adult contemporary or rock folk. So make sure that your brand kind of like speaks by itself. And this will help you create a story behind your brand. Like, so why? What makes you different? What makes your music different? Then create a strong presence on social media platforms. That I know we're, it's the world we're living in. It's really, really crucial. So, and then start to build your fan base. And trying to play whatever you can, even if it's at some friend's place. You know, try to sell yourself every time, because little by little you can grow that and people will start to follow you eventually. And always an advice that I got when I followed the very, very interesting courses that I make at the School of Music Business based in London, which is a great school. I really recommend, and they really, really very well prepared. It's just look also like when you're building your fan base, look at the artists that, you know, do the same music as you do, but not the super famous one, like not Blake Shelton if you do a country. But look at, you know, the other person that is artist that is maybe in your hometown or in your region and that does your music. So it has your own target. And then see, but it's a bit better than you, like not better in the sense like has a bigger fan base, and just have a look at what he does in his social media. So reshare his posts, try to connect with his fan base and try to maybe connect with him, get some, you know, feedback from him or her, you know, just trying to look at what they do and trying to follow up with the steps, you know, trying to create a connection. This gives you something very concrete and stable to work on. And it's not just always, you know, dream high, but when talking about marketing yourself and promoting yourself, be grounded and look literally at who's next to you and what they're doing and connect with them. Connection is always the key, no? We know that. And I always suggest to help each other in that field. Art is so difficult. Music is so, oh my God, there's so many talents out there. And, you know, it's really hard. It's really, really hard to be there. So I always recommend that. And pitch yourself to Spotify. Now there is Spotify for artists. It's not just, you don't need a label to jump on it. So create a nice pitch. The story always is really important. Have a cool artwork in your single and upload a quality, like a very quality, good quality program. That is really important.
Let's flip to the other side there. If, you know, I were to be a venue owner, a smaller venue like a club or a listening club or something, or maybe a promoter, do you have any ideas on if I want to showcase more independent artists but want to make sure that I'm still getting people in the door, just what are your thoughts on ideas around helping make that happen?
Well, something that is just coming to my mind right now, but because I kind of did back in, we're talking probably almost 20 years ago, a little series of kind of festival in Italy. One it was called Living Art, and the other one was called Art and Beat. So talking about other Art and Beat, we had this little space that it was like more a wine bar kind of club, little place. And we were actually, at the time I was art director, and we were actually trying to promote the venue. So what we decided to do, and it was just like doing both. So promoting the venue while giving independent artists, whether they were like figurative painters or even sculptures or other form of art expression, and musicians, a free platform to perform. So probably if I own today a little club, I would try to create a club or a venue that is a more a sort of a 360 kind of space for art. So I can give, I can provide for sure, like the customer that wants to come to my place is going to enjoy new independent art on the wall, but also listening to music and, you know, have, the chance to assist a new live music concert. So this will give also the opportunity both to the bands and to the artist who is exposing to get in contact with the fans of the band and vice versa. You know, the people that are coming from the vernissage or to see the art will listen also to the music. And maybe I would invent a little culinary contest, invite a chef, have a bartender. Just, you know, don't rely only on, unfortunately, for now, like if you're really starting on one form of art, but why not put together the things, create, like, I remember I did a little thing in a club, in a nightclub. I was like something that it's a bit old school, but, you know, like action painting. So there was like this great drummer percussionist from Africa. And there was like a DJ playing, and there was like this dancer, African dancers. And then there was a painter that was like inspired by the music painting. So we did this performance and we were able to collect lots of people coming because there was a lot there. There was a DJ, there was a tribal music, there was like percussions, and we were able also to help the percussionists, the dancers, painter, and paying the DJ. So it was like a win-win for everyone.
And that's been my experience too, is when I'm doing something that maybe doesn't have a built-in audience already, combining multiple things. Like I used to run an art gallery and we would do live events. And instead of just doing an event where people come and look at the art, we started booking musicians for free because we didn't have any budget. We were a nonprofit. And we were like, you can come play here and you can sell your CDs, you can accept tips, whatever. But it gives you, and I'll make a really cool video because I'm a videographer. So I was like, for free, I'll make a really cool video for you in this cool space, in this art gallery. And then we had some some poets come in and we assigned each of them a painting and they would write a poem about that painting, and then they would perform it there in the gallery. And that was incredibly successful. I mean, we'd get hundreds of people coming to those in a small rural area. If it was in a bigger city, it would have been thousands. Like, and I've just heard that repeated over and seen that done really well over and over again. It's like, just because you're a music venue doesn't mean you just have to focus on music, or just because you're an art gallery doesn't mean you just have to focus on paintings.
Definitely. And also, in hard time, you have to play hard, in the sense like, yeah, you know, we all like get in a shock from what happened. So you need to be out there if you want to survive. I mean, I think the best way is to just help art. I mean, music is art, visual art clearly is art. You were like, everything is like form of expression and creates experiences. So back again to, you're creating not just a concert, but you're creating an happening, an event. So in art terms. So, I mean, it becoming something different. And then you always have the chance, you know, like to get only the big concert whenever you want and just a vernissage. Like, you can always play with that. But I think like at the beginning, if you open a venue that is dedicated to music and to art, why not merging the two things or the three things or even more? And help yourself, yeah, helping the others, you know, like it's the best way.
I love the part about, you know, the thing you brought up about kind of the culinary art piece as well. I think that's something people forget about. And we see in our platform a lot of cooking classes or like specialty food events do incredibly well, especially culture food events, like if, like an Italian festival, like you're talking about, or promoted for a Greek festival and one for like a hot dog festival, like those sorts
that's
of
nice.
Things. People love food, so it's
at the end of the day, that is true. But it also makes me think about another event that that I did, and it was very, very nice, because yes, food is also the food you eat, but it's also, I did basically a night with this fantastic artist who was a painter too, but it was also, it was creating sugar installation and jewelry. So what we did, like, it's a very difficult art he studied in Switzerland, and it's a way of working with the sugar and becomes like a glass. It's crazy. And you can color it. So we exhibited this big like installation, like sculpture. And then we had kind of semi-naked mannequin with the models with this piece of jewelry walking around the space. And then I kind of added to that my chocolate massage in a separated area. And then we had like a little finger food, patisserie finger food served to everyone. So that was really nice. People went crazy with that event. It was hard to redo because I couldn't find any other artist who was doing the same thing that he was doing. So good for him, for sure. But for me, then he left. He went to New York, I think, and then he started traveling. So it was like also out of budget for me to reach out to him, definitely. But it was a very successful thing. So when you see culinary and gastronomy, it could be also something inspired by and very unconventional. So don't limit yourself, you know? Experience.
That's something that I think the difference between, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this, the difference between an event and like a happy hour or just going to a bar or something is how memorable how unique the experience is. An event is something that's a one-time thing or a few, like it's a moment in time. Maybe that's months, but it's a moment in time where there's some unique experience happening.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so important because it's what you bring away from the event, you know. One thing is an event that you just wake up the day after, maybe you've drunk too much, but but besides the headache, but if you remember, say, oh, you know, like it was awesome and there was the lightning and, you know, there was that production that was great, which is a very, very important aspect of events. People, like, you know very well that people just attend events and they see this beautiful lightning and the things that are built and the things that, voila, it's been there forever, like, you know, magically appeared. But it's a lot of work. Even production is crazy difficult, and kudos to all the people that are doing that, because it's, oh my god, like, it's a nightmare that becomes a dream that makes people dream, you know, but it's always very tricky.
Yeah.
So literally, like, kudos to these people that do this. Like, they're really specialized in event productions because it's amazing what they do. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is an incredible part. And some of the scale of that is, but even just people that are doing production in a small club or something, it's still, it's one of those, it's like, if you do a good job, people are wowed by it maybe, or just think, yeah, that was what it was supposed to look like. But if you mess it up, then everyone is going to notice, which is a lot of pressure.
Yes, unfortunately.
Of it as well. Yeah. What do you think is most important for promoting events? Like now, like just what are you seeing promoting or working on this bigger festival? Like what is, or some of the other things that you're working on now, are the things that are working really well right now that are unique, or maybe tried and true things that you're seeing still work really well?
Well, I mean, promoting now has a lot to deal with marketing. So you have to market your event. Like you would need someone who's actually kind of like focusing on that. So if you are starting a new event, like if you are doing, okay, there's no, so I would probably, it depends on the event for sure. If it's a corporate, if it's a festival, if it's a concert, blah, 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 then you would need to understand better what's your target. So it's really, really important. So who are you are addressing? This is really key because you serve from the people you really want to address. And maybe hopefully, you know, it expands to others, but it's really, really important to stay on the piece. Let's call it like that. And just focusing on the people the event is destined to. So, of course, like strong branding of the event. So create all the visuals and graphics based to your target, based to what you want to sell, to the experience you want to sell. What you may, and also sometimes kind of like a thing that I used to, it's a kind of like a checklist, but also like a mental, I love to put myself on the other side. So I said, if I hear about this name, you know, even when you create the name of your event, which is really important, it's a very focal point of everything. It's very, very important. It's crucial. I always love to put myself on the other side. Say, okay, so if I'm hearing that, what am I going to think? What I would love to see? What are the colors? Colors are so important. Your color palette, choose it wisely because it makes a big difference. And then try to reproduce that color palette of the brand, the logo. You know, I always recommend to create a little logo, you know, for your event. It's always nice logo or just, you know, headline that is really recognizable. People want to see something that is unique and recognizable at the same time. So for sure, start using social. Again, digital marketing is really, really key to address. There are, like, if you do a festival, you can use many platforms, tourism platform provided by your region, your state, your city. If you're a private, just to try to connect also with media in order to have some coverage. It always also depends on the type of event. Of course, now I'm talking about events that are destined and open to everyone or, you know, through invitation and stuff. But of course, if you are a corporate, if you're we're talking about a corporate event, clearly, again, branding is key. So make sure that when people enter, whatever the venue, everything around you is like recognizable, properly branded, and that. So I think like have a clear vision is the key. A clear vision where you start, what you want to go, what you want to build, and what's your goal. This is really important. So what do I want to get from this event? People just have fun, people learn, people discover new thing, and then just like position yourself on the other side. Every time you encounter kind of like, oh, what I'm going to do now. So what would you like to do? You know, sometimes focus group, if you really are, have, you know, you can do it. Why not? You know, ask your friends, like you can do your own little focus group, you know, just.
Yeah, it can be helpful just to send something around and be like, what do you think of this? I have a fun little trick that I do where I don't tell people that it's my event. I'll send like a title or something to someone. And I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about going to this event. You want to come with me? Like, and then
this is nice.
Afterwards, I'll be like, oh, I'm just kidding. It's my event, but thanks for the feedback. Like,
exactly. But also helps you kind of like detach from your own event because sometimes, and you know that very well for sure. Like when you work in an event or you're putting together an idea or a project, you're so involved that it's really hard to have a vision outside of it. So it's really, so maybe someone else can help you out on that to get a successful event. But there's also a component of luck for sure, because another thing that I recommend, if you do a public event, to look at the calendar, what's going on in your city. Look at it. Because you don't want to have...
Yeah, if you're going to do another 500,000 person event, there shouldn't be another 500,000 person event happening on the same day.
Exactly. But that, and also maybe you are on the tail or something. So take advantage of another bigger event with the same target, let's say, as yours. Like if it's a heavy metal big festival and you do a hard rock, which is kind of the same. But if you connect yourself to the tail of the big, maybe some of this, you know, fans, festival goers probably would stay and get to yours, or maybe not. Like you always have to think properly, you know, about all these things, but have a look at what's going on around you and also go to events. Go to other people's events. Don't close and go to affairs that talks about events, innovations, full workshop. Stay up to date. It's really important because there are amazing things going on.
It's a very creative field. I think that, you know, sometimes on the marketing side and the promotion side, you can get and the organization side, it's a little bit, it can get, it feels a little like spreadsheets and checklists.
Absolutely.
And if you get caught in that, you lose track of the creativity of it. And the creativity of it is what brings people and what makes it successful. Yeah. So going to other events to get inspired and learning from others in the field is a great way to do that.
No, absolutely. And also like now, for example, there's a lot with the 3D, inserting the 3D in the experience. With Alessia, we did just a few months ago, Immerse Montreal, which was a great success. And we had a series of bands performing, like there was an unplugged version, and then there was like rock. And then it was a live event. But it was also that we gave the possibility for people to actually be there in 3D, three-dimensional, being inside the concert. We had, like, it was really, really cool. Not because it was the foundation event, but because it was really, really a great success. Kind of fun experience, but it requires also lots of technology. So you would want to go and stay connected with professionals in the field, because you want to hire the right people to do certain stuff. You know, sometimes you have a great idea, but then again, production behind, the big nightmare of every planner and organizer, because oh my God, what I'm gonna do? And then you rely on professionals that can do the great things. Yeah.
I think that there's so much that we could talk about, but I think we've packed a lot of really good stuff into this already. If there's somewhere that, you know, people could connect with you if they want to connect with you and learn about some of the other things you're working on, where would be a good place to do that?
Yeah, for sure. LinkedIn is always the best way to connect professionally. I also, my company, Little Company, has a Facebook page, Fearless Sounds. I'm working on my website, shame on me, because after all this great this great conversation about marketing yourself, but I've been really, really busy. So for now, working really with the word of mouth, that still is a good thing that it's worked pretty well still in the music community. Anyways, yeah. If you want to contact me, reach out through LinkedIn. There's also my mail there. So don't be shy. And whoever wants to connect, I would love that. I mean, I love connecting. Networking is great. And that's it. So I'm very happy that we connect, Craig. So see, thank you so much.
Yeah, me too. Thank you also.
Event Vesta is a simple yet powerful tool for event organizers. With Event Vesta, you can post your upcoming events to event calendars all through your city on the most popular websites without spending hours on each doing it manually. Get hours worth of marketing done for your events in 5 minutes or less with Event Vesta. Check out how Event Vesta can help your business today by checking out vesta.fun/podcast.